right, so Matthew, if you guys remember from Matthew 26, so we just had Jesus predicted Peter's denial, and he was betrayed and arrested in the garden, and then went before the Sanhedrin. And now, as we get to chapter 27, the Sanhedrin had just met illegally the night before. So according to the law that they were to follow, when they were meeting concerning what they were to do with someone's life, they weren't supposed to do that at night. So this is just another time that we see that the Sanhedrin, which were the religious leaders at the time that were supposed to be the perfect example of following the law, we see them here again breaking the law just in order to try and put Jesus to death. So we'll go ahead and read the first 14 verses. So it says, "When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is it to us? You see to it.' Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood.' And they consulted together and bought them to the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, and as the Lord directed me.' Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus said to him, 'It is as you say.' And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But he answered him not one word, so the governor marveled greatly." So like I said, so we have the Sanhedrin here. They've taken Jesus captive. Like I mentioned, they met illegally. And it says, so it starts off with them when morning came. So this, what they probably did was overnight they had their illegal meeting, and they probably split off for a few hours and then came back together early in the morning to get this done as quick as possible. And the Sanhedrin gave Jesus over to Pontius Pilate, who was the governor there. Because they didn't have the authority themselves to kill Jesus. And Pilate was known as a very cruel man with bad morals. So they thought for sure that this would be an easy way to get Jesus killed. Pilate would surely do it. And Pontius Pilate didn't care about any of the religious issues concerning Jesus. So his accusers, the Sanhedrin, brought forth three main accusations against Jesus that were all false. Number one being Jesus was a revolutionary, so he was trying to start up this revolution kind of against Rome. Number two, that Jesus encouraged the people to not to pay taxes. And number three, he claimed to be king in opposition to Caesar, which would have been a huge deal. But we know that all three of these were false. And then in verse three, we read about Judas. So we know that Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus. He betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And once he, and Judas, so Judas was probably there watching this and kind of in the background. And when he saw these things happening, like he felt sorry, he felt remorseful for what he had done. Some of the Bible commentators probably speculate that Judas, since he was there with Jesus the whole time and seeing these miracles happen, kind of in the back of his head, he probably thought that, like, all the times that Jesus has been kind of at the hand of his enemies, he's always escaped. So he probably thought that this would just be another one of them. So when he saw that Jesus wasn't escaping from this, that this was Jesus was being led to his death, that he felt sorry, he felt remorseful, and tried to bring the 30 pieces of silver back to the leaders, the chief priests, and the elders. And he knew that he'd betrayed the innocent blood of Jesus. But we can read, this is a pretty sobering section, because Judas was so remorseful, so sorry, that he'd done this, that he actually went out and killed himself. That was his way out of this. But Judas was unrepentant. So it was in his unrepentant remorse and despair that he committed suicide. So this was fulfilled. This bringing the 30 pieces of silver back to the priests was actually another fulfillment of prophecy. Just one of many that we can read in the book of Matthew. And so now Jesus is here, standing before the governor. And history shows us that Pontius Pilate was a cruel and ruthless man, and especially unkind to the Jews. And he was very happy to show his power, to show that he had authority and rule over this area. But we can read that later on that Jesus actually had a very strong effect on him and his decisions concerning Jesus. And Pilate asked this very important question, and he asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And when they brought him to Pilate, the Jewish leaders accused Jesus of promoting himself as king in defiance to Caesar. That was one of those false accusations. They wanted to make Jesus seem like he was a dangerous man and starting up this revolution against Caesar and against Rome. Of course, we can only wonder what Pilate thought when he first set eyes on Jesus, when he saw this beaten and bloodied man before him. Jesus didn't look like a king. He didn't look regal or majestic, but he just stood there as a bloody and beaten man. So the governor probably asked this question sarcastically, like, "Are you really the king of the Jews that you say you are?" And Jesus answers with a very simple response: "It is as you say." So he didn't try to make some majestic defiance or defense, and no instant miracle was done to save his own life. Instead, Jesus gave Pilate the same simple reply he gave to the high priest that we read back in Matthew 26. 64, where he says, Jesus said to him, "It is as you say, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And so Pilate and the religious leaders there would have been continuing to question him. And we don't have all of those questions here, but Pilate says again to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" So the religious leaders would have been, at this time, would have been, just hitting Jesus with all these questions, all these false accusations. But we read that Jesus remained silent. He'd already given his defense. He said, "It is as you say." And he didn't need to defend. He didn't feel the need to defend himself any further. And this was, of course, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew the reality of what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be put to death, and it was all for a plan. So I have a quote from Spurgeon. He's a Bible scholar, and it says, he had seen in, so this is talking about when Pilate marveled greatly in verse 14. He had seen in captured Jews the fierce courage of fanaticism, but there was none of this in Christ. He had also seen in many prisoners the meanness which will do or say anything to escape from death, but he saw nothing about this in our Lord. He saw in his unusual gentleness and humility combined with majestic dignity, he beheld submission blended with innocence. So in any other case where a prisoner was in this position, they would have been doing everything they could to try and get out of this situation, denying these accusations. But Jesus didn't do any of this. He was humble and he was gentle and he didn't put up a fight. And so this man, Pontius Pilate, who was this ruthless and corrupt man morally, was marveled by this, which is pretty powerful to read. So we'll go ahead and read. I'll go ahead and read verse 15 through 26. And it says, now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas to destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when they had scourged Jesus, they delivered him to be crucified. So this is a very sobering section. So despite this kind of Pilate being shaken and kind of stirred up because of the attitude of Jesus, he still was going to please the people, and we see that a lot through this section. So Pilate, being the judge at this feast, he was accustomed to let one of these prisoners go, and Barabbas we're told that he's a notorious prisoner. And back in Mark 15, verse 7, we hear why he was such a notorious prisoner. He'd committed murder, and he was just a very bad person in society. And a very interesting thing that we can see is so Pilate is here before the crowds, and his wife sends to him and says, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." So you would think that when this happens, when your wife comes up to him and says, I've suffered things in a dream, like you can't go through with this, that may stir up even more and prevent him from doing this. But we read later on, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So despite all these things that Pilate was seeing, pointing towards not going through with this, not putting Jesus to death, he still was a people pleaser, and he was going to do what the multitudes wanted him to do. So Pilate asked the people, "Which of these two do you want me to release?" And they said, "Barabbas." So these people, this multitude that was here, was the exact same multitude that just a week before, as Jesus was riding in on a donkey, they were the same group that were crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." So just days before, these were the people that were overjoyed that Jesus was coming in, and it's sad to see that in such a short amount of time that they'd be a crowd that were yelling, "Crucify him." They wanted this notorious prisoner, this murderer, rather than Jesus, and it shows just how far away and how corrupt and blinded these people had got. So Pilate goes through with it. He releases Barabbas, but he wants to. I mean, inside he knows that Jesus is innocent, but because of his want to please the people, he continues to go through it. But in front of everyone, he washes his hands and proclaims to them, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. So you see to it. So I'm innocent. I know that Jesus is innocent. But he hands them over to the people to do what they want. And Jesus is then led to be crucified. All right, so we'll go ahead and stop there. So we'll pick up in verse 27 next week. Well, I'll pray, and then we'll head across the street.